Paul Mayer's Children's Television Archive.
Yes, five boys made up the Dixieland Band, and here, I brought an album to show you. We recorded an album on the Liberty Records label, and along with the band, I had a little girl's trio called the Holly Tones, and a boy vocalist.
The Holly Tones.
Yes. Yeah. And we did a half-hour show each Sunday night on Channel 5, KTLA. As I say, it was kind of a junior Lawrence Welk type of program. And some of those youngsters today are doing very well in the music business. Mm. A trumpet player, right out of Whittier, California.
Yeah, I see that.
Jay DeVersa is one of the most successful trumpet players in the business today. He does studio work, motion picture, television work. Mm-hmm. And he's a very fine artist. Oh, one thing I thought of. I mentioned Vance Colvig earlier as the first person I met when I did my first show. Vance at that time was on the air at KNXT doing Buck Sureshot.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. A marvelous character.
Yeah. And, he told me all about it.
He did.
Yeah.
He's a very funny man. And we've had over the years some...
I tell you, when you described that show to me, I just started laughing. Yeah. The way he started it off, shooting the gun into the camera.
Right, right. Yeah. The crew loved him. They loved to do his show. It was...
I heard he had a lot of PTA groups on his back at that time.
I don't know. I don't recall that. I really don't.
Yeah, well, he said he used to meet them in the hallways and say, you know, he's going to continue what he's doing. And, you know.
You mean because of the kind of character
he
portrayed?
Yes, uh-huh. I never saw the show. I don't remember it at all. What year was it on? No.
Well, that was 55. Again, you were about 3 years of age.
Yeah, I don't remember it. But from what he tells me, he was kind of a character, you know, played this Western...
crusty old character.
Somewhat maybe of a town drunk, maybe. You know, with a gun that shot off, kind of loud like his gun.
Right.
Shoots his mouth off like he shoots his gun. Yeah. The kind of thing you couldn't get away with today.
Kids loved it.
Yeah,
kids
sure
really
yeah,
loved it.
Yeah.
And a lot of adults, too.
Good character.
Yes, it was. But getting back to the show with the youngsters, our format was basically that the youngsters would play music, and we would always invite, as a guest, a top-name musical artist. Hmm. And we had artists that performed with the youngsters... such as Red Nichols, Stan Kenton. Well, there were a great number that appeared during the series. Mm-hmm. And
so you'd be the host of the show.
Well, I didn't start out as the host. I was the producer creator. Mm-hmm. And we had as our first host Russ Morgan. Do you remember Russ Morgan? Music in the Morgan Manor.
No.
A lot of the older generation would remember Russ Morgan. Mm-hmm. He was a most famous band leader and made many, many recordings. He was brought in as the first host, and then we had a gentleman by the name of Walter O'Keefe. Now, you may or may not remember that name. Very big in radio mm-hmm. some years ago. And toward the end, the station asked that I host my own program, and I did. And that was a big thrill. It really was. The youngsters, we took them to New York. They appeared on the Ray Bolger Washington Square television series. And at that time, Ray Bolger was very big in television. And I remember that show. We had as our guests Benny Goodman, Giselle McKenzie, and... the Small Fry group, the youngsters. We flew back to New York and had a wonderful time. We stayed in a hotel, the Warwick, as I recall. That's mm-hmm. where show business personalities would put up during their stay. And it was a marvelous experience. The children had offers to go to Las Vegas, but because of their age and the working hours, we declined. We turned that down.
Mm-hmm. But I see you also the Tennessee Ernie Ford.
Yes, we made an appearance on the Ernie Ford show.
He's a Whittierite too, by the way.
Is he? I didn't know that. Yeah. Yes.
Just lived up Colima.
Now, you're from Whittier, I believe. Uh-huh. That is your home.
Yeah.
Originally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, what are you Paul, doing? I think you're doing... I must say something, Paul. You're doing a marvelous, marvelous thing. Really. This book that you're putting together...
It's on tape and everything.
You know, your book, A Complete History of Children's Television. Now, there hasn't, to my knowledge, ever been anything quite like that. I think it's needed. And when I heard that you were doing... this, I said to myself, if I can contribute in any way, it'll be my privilege. I'm so pleased to be able to have this opportunity to talk to you.
Tell some other people about it, you know, that I could include in my book, too.
I will. I'll do my best.
You mentioned some names that I haven't heard yet.
There was another show I did that it was really fun for me. It was an early morning show that here you see the TV guide. The year is 1965, and here's the ad. Every weekday morning from 7 in the morning until 8, the Bill Holly Morning Show.
Hmm.
Now, as you know, my name is Bill Hollingsworth, but I used Bill Holly.
Yeah.
And that was a very loose, free-form kind of format. It was really just before Laugh-In, and it was a similar kind of format as Laugh-In. And I probably enjoyed doing that show as much as any. Truly, it was a kind of spontaneous free-form, again, free-form. Much it was ad-lib. And we showed Laurel and Hardy films in between the disconnected, unrelated bits and pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And that was over at KHJ Channel 9. I've worked at three channels over the years. CBS, KNXT,
now,
KTLA Channel 5, and KHJ Channel 9.
This particular show here, I noticed you got some radios and things like that. Were there any particular things that you did each show, you know, that people might remember? I mean, you know, I see Holly's Frolly. What's that? Is that a board?
Holly's Follies. Let me see. What is that? It's been so long ago, I don't recall all of the things that we did. Holly's Folly. There was a little dance I did called the Holly Hop. And
so like a soupy shuffle kind
really, of. Really? Really, it was. And I will admit that Soupy, I was a fan of Soupy, by the way.
Oh, really?
His show. Oh, I loved what he did. I really did. A marvelous talent. And another show I did along with a good friend of mine, Bill Stella, at Channel 9 was, I believe I have a picture I can show you in my costume.
I vaguely remember this Nine Island now.
Nine Island, that's the one that was a program that included myself, Bill Stella, and another fellow by the name of Johnny Coons, who came out of Chicago. Well-known children's host from Chicago.
That's
there
great.
Is the picture of myself in my outfit, my costume. I was known as the Great Zolar.
Who did that costume? Do you know?
Let's see. The Berman's, I believe.
The costume place.
The costume place in town. I believe Berman's designed that for me.
I like the eyes.
Do you?
It gives you kind of a Batman kind of feel.
Well, and again, this was just before the Batman and Robin series came on the air, and I was doing, you know, the thing with the cape and the mask, and it seemed to have some appeal. We had good ratings and a lot of favorable mail.
That's a neat picture. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I enjoyed doing that show because it dealt with... we did some magic, and we showed the Hercules cartoons, and it had a kind of an air of mystery about it, the Great Zolar.
Yeah, yeah. It gives you a chance to get away from the other roles you've been playing.
Absolutely.
Get into more of the Great Zolar.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The man of mystery.
I could see it kind of being like, you look similar to Adam West here. Isn't that the one who did Batman?
Yes, that is true.
It's similar. You look similar, with that that grin. You're kind of holding back dimples.
We used to open the show. I would be stationed on Thunderbolt Mountain. You can see the set in the background. Mm-hmm. That was the mountain. And there would be a lot of smoke.
See, when you had these shows, did you ever build any of these sets that, you know, that you designed? Were there rules, were there all the rules that you find today? Were you able to have more freedom? I mean, could you build the sets?
Well, I didn't personally build the sets, nor did I
see, that's something I would want sets. To do, you know.
Well, that you have a talent for that. We had a department that actually did that for us. We had a designer in most instances, a local man who designed sets for all of the various shows. These are the little pictures that I brought along to show you that when we would make personal appearances on the weekends.
Yeah, I have all these from all these
people.
Yeah,
we would give these out to the youngsters. Yeah. They'd come out to meet us, which was great fun, great thrill. And we'd have prizes and autographed pictures to give. Here are some of the pictures. Tom Hatton is the originator of the Popeye show in Southern California as far as the host, and he does a marvelous job.
Mm-hmm.
I had an opportunity for a short time to host Popeye's Theater. And this picture you're looking at now is a character I did. I did it at the time a secret agent 007 was quite popular. And working at Channel 9, I created a character called Secret Agent 009. And there I am in my trench coat, and as you can see, I'm getting hit over the head with what they call a breakaway bottle. Those bottles were made of sugar, I was told, and they didn't really hurt. But
that's interesting. I didn't know there was another Popeye.
Well, I did host the station bought the package, the cartoon package, and so I did host the program.
This is your dance that you did.
That's Holly, one of them.
The Holly Hop, is that what you...
Mm-hmm.
Could you ride a unicycle?
No, I could not.
I can do that.
Can you?
Yeah, I can do
no,
very well.
No, I could not
well.
Do that.
I got one for my 14th birthday and mastered it. I can still do it. Yeah, it looks like a good fun show. You got drum. Could you play the instruments and things?
Well, I am a musician.
Uh-huh.
I worked as a musician over the years. I started off as a youngster playing the trumpet, and I went to college up in the state of Washington, and I went to college on a scholarship, a music scholarship. Mm-hmm. While going to college, I played in the Spokane Symphony Orchestra as a trumpet player. And in the Air Force, I was a trumpet player entertainer. I was in the 560th Air Force Band.
Hmm.
And this was during the Korean campaign. And I was very fortunate to have the opportunity to continue as a musician entertainer during that period. But over the years, I've worked in clubs as a musician, band leader, entertainer, and I still enjoy playing the trumpet. Great love for
music. I studied the trumpet once.
You did?
Yeah, lasted a year and a half. I think trumpet players either make it or they don't right away.
Yeah, you have to stay with it. It's a very physical instrument. Here's a shot of myself in my...
Stryker School of Music.
Oh, you did?
Yes. Bill Stryker.
There's a shot of myself in my flying saucer. Now, when I was playing the part of Captain Jet, I had a gentleman build for me a flying saucer.
That's nice, yeah.
And I used to take it out on personal appearances, and the youngsters would come out to see my captured flying saucer. But in hauling it from one appearance to another, many times I had to travel on the freeway, and it got to be too dangerous because people, I would haul this behind my car on a trailer rig, and I many times would hear the screeching of brakes, and it's because people would become attracted. They couldn't believe what they were seeing.
Yes.
You know, going down the freeway, and so they would hit their brakes, and it would almost cause an accident. We never had any accidents.
Whatever happened to it?
Actually, the last time I saw it was out at Pacific Ocean Park, the old amusement park.
Yes.
I had, at one time, when the park first opened, in the new park, when it opened in 1959, I had three businesses out there. You know, the types of things like for a quarter you can throw the hoops or mm-hmm. do this or do that. And I was in business at Pacific Ocean Park, and I took it out there as just an attraction.
Mm-hmm. Something to gather people up to your place.
Right. But I don't know whatever happened to it.
That's a really fun picture.
Do you like that?
I would like you to keep in your mind that I'd like to use that from you later.
Well, I'll give that to you. You can have that.
Well, do you have others?
Oh, here's some others.
Do you have others of this one?
Yes. Right. You may
You
have
do. Sure. Good, good. Yeah, that's a fun picture.
And let's see. Paul, I don't know, is there anything else of interest that I could share with you?
This one I would also like.
You may have that.
Do you have others of this?
Sure. You may have that.
How about these? May I have one of each?
You can have them all.
You sure? You got
sure.
others?
Mm-hmm.
Great, great, great. Were you a fan of Popeye at the time? I mean, looking, did you still watch Tom Hatton's cartoons in the mornings, or did you appreciate them?
Oh, of course I do. It brings back many fond memories, because some of those cartoons that Tom shows are cartoons that that I showed at one time when I was hosting the Popeye
Theater.
Those
little Flasher ones are really nice.
Yeah. Really? Yeah, there are some classics. And like the Laurel and
Popeye things?
There's some things in here. I brought some material.
I know all about all about Popeye.
Well, as a youngster, I used to love seeing Popeye in the theater. I enjoyed very much the Laurel and Hardy films.
Do you have a stack of these at home, or is this the only one?
I don't have a stack of that.
Oh,
that
okay,
I...
fine. There's Jack and Phyllis.
Yes, Jack and Phyllis Spear. They did a show at the same time I was at Channel 9. Lovely couple.
I can see who your sponsor was there.
Right. And there's a stack of mail. That's
fun.
That was always nice to get the mail, and I always read every piece of mail that came in. There are some youngsters that
they're doing your hop.
Dance. My little dance, my little holly hop.
This is fun.
Do you know those children?
I wish I could show more of these pictures, you know?
May I tell you something about...
But I can't.
Right, I understand. May I say something about the children that are on this program? I brought these youngsters in on this show. They were a special group of youngsters. They lived just down the street from the studio, from Channel 9, KHJ-TV.
Hmm.
And each day I would come to the studio, Monday through Friday, to do my show. And I used to park on the street, and they would wait for me. And they would walk with me from my car to the studio. And we got to be
That's
friends.
Nice, yes.
Yes, and then they would go home and watch
mm-hmm.
while I was on the
mm-hmm.
air. And they formed
and
little...
afterwards they'd come back out again. And...
Yes, exactly.
they formed
a Bill Holly fan club. And they had meetings, and they would collect dues and that sort of thing. They had a president, vice president, secretary, treasurer. And when I went off the air, they did two things. They took their money that they had collected from the dues, and they went out all on their own and bought me a gift.
That's nice.
Wasn't that? That
it
was so beautiful. I'll never forget
it
that.
It makes it all worthwhile when things like that happen.
And another thing, Paul, they did this on their own. No one put them up to this.
Mm-hmm.
And these youngsters, as you can see, are probably between the ages of 7
yes.
and maybe 11 at the most. When they heard I was going off the air, there comes a time when we all go off the air for one reason or the mm-hmm. other, they picketed the station.
You're kidding
They
me.
Made up little picket signs. I still have pictures of that at home.
That I would like. And, that I would like. And, I would like to print a picture of that.
And the gentleman at the time, Alan Moll, who was doing the Channel 9 news, did a story
covered
on it.
Yeah.
Covered it that night on the news. And he
great.
Had pictures of the children out front picketing the station.
I would like to have a picture of that.
And
because you always hear about how there was a love for the kids had for their... But here's a picture that shows it. I would like...
And they did this all on their own. And I walked out of that station, and I tell you, I was never so touched by something in all my life. It was just
touching.
A beautiful moment.
Yeah.
Because they were concerned. They wanted to do something for me. And, those are beautiful memories. And I loved every minute of it.
And you went, I suppose, to all those charity shows, the hospitals and all that.
That is true.
Did you get into that?
Yes. When you're on the air doing a program of that type, you do get calls asking you to come out and do a benefit, a charity, and to appear at, let's say, the Children's Hospital. And I did all of that I could. And that is very rewarding also.
Commander Riptide.
Commander Riptide is a show that was, I described earlier, a lot of fun. Enjoyed it.
Yeah, this is the...
I'll tell you one thing. You get the feeling I couldn't hold a job very long when I talk about all the different shows that I hosted over the years. But I was very fortunate. I always, when one show would conclude, I always tried to get something going. And if a station didn't call me and ask me to host something, I would create something on my own and go out and try and sell it.
This
you had
I
to do that.
This I like. The kids are all helping you run the ship. And
you
would give them, were some of these things functional? I mean, could they work dials that would do something?
Yes.
So it would really look like it's actually
and
happening.
Through film footage, now they're inside the submarine. You're seeing the interior of the submarine.
Yes.
And by using film clips, footage of actual submarines submerging, we gave the impression at home to the viewer, the youngster watching
at home.
They
say we're going to the top and they show a shot of the thing.
Through sound effects and with film footage, you really, I'm sure at home, thought we were submerging that submarine.
Say,
we would surface and...
This particular picture I like.
Mm-hmm.
I like the fact that that the kids aren't just playing games. They're part of the show.
They're participating.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and they can get into the fantasy of the whole thing. That's pretty exciting. Do you have another shot of this? Do you have another shot of this at all? Of kids participating with you in the ship?
I don't know that I have one with me.
Well, yeah, but I mean, do you have one at home that I could... Because I like that.
Are you asking me if I have a duplicate of this shot?
Yeah, or something similar.
I might have, Paul. I'd have to look.
I like the idea that kids participating, being part of the role, of the act.
I understand.
Getting into it. That's, you know, because I've all the rest of the shows, I never heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they always play a game. They sit in the audience. It's usually a game.
Right.
You know, that they play with. Occasionally they'll draw on an easel. A kid will draw or something. But this is neat. I mean, a kid could use a line if he wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I suppose they did. You'd probably ask them, you got that switched off or you got that under control? And you say, yes, sir. Is that what the answer is similar?
Something like that.
That seems like fun to me. And you got girls in your submarine also. You didn't do that thing to draw the line.
It wasn't just for the boys. The girls seemed to enjoy it just as much as the boys did.
That's nice. I like that.
It seems like kind of a bygone era. I don't know.
Do you have more of these?
Yes.
Do you really?
Sure.
I don't want to take anything that you...
Please do. Help yourself.
No, this I'd like to put in, you know, my presentation to the publishers. All the pictures that I, you know, took. And this is the area that you...
I don't know if we'll see children's programming again like it was at that point in time.
I think you will.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I think it's coming back.
I hope so.
Soupy Sales is coming back.
I hope so.
He is.
He's marvelous.
He is coming back.
He is. He's an original. He's so unique. That again is the...
That's pretty impressive.
Yes. Now, the Captain Jet set looked very authentic at that time. And sitting at home,
under camera,
right, sitting at home and watching it on the screen, it looked like the real thing, a spaceship.
I laugh more at the one of him in the ship. I laugh more at that. I think that picture makes me laugh. When I see a picture that makes me laugh, I almost know right away I want to put it in the book. You know what I mean?
I see.
When you, you know the one of you in the ship flying above the...
Oh, yes. Yes, I know the one.
I find that very funny. You have a funny look on your face, and it's really funny.
The lake I'm flying above is Lake Tahoe.
May I have one of these?
Oh, yes. You can have both of them if you would like.
No, you like to keep it in your book here. This I'd like if you have...
You please do. I brought extras of... both items in case
if you only had two of something, I wouldn't want to take one of it. There's too many other guys in the future that will be doing books. That you'll need these pictures. Now, did you ever want to just do straight acting roles?
Well, that's why I went to the Pasadena Playhouse. I was studying, you know, acting. And, but I, through that break, and I call it a break, I got involved in local live television and children's programming as such. That's just a...
Would you sign one of these for me?
Oh, I'd love to.
Put it on my wall. Yeah, I like pictures that resemble the guy. So many of them that people give me, like, what is it, Marvin Miller gives me pictures. All the pictures he has, not one of them resembles the man.
Can I show you a poster?
Oh, yes.
This was on the outside.
The whole one side?
Of buses.
Ah.
Buses that traveled throughout Southern California, this large poster. And it's a poster that advertises Commander Riptide, 8 a.m. Saturday, Channel 2 television. And also, it advertises Captain Kangaroo, 7 a.m. weekdays. So, I may have said earlier that I was on at 7 a.m. No, that's right. I'm sorry. Captain was on 7 a.m. weekdays and at 8 on...
You really got a better time slot.
Yes, yes. The Riptide Show was... 8 a.m. Saturday, and the captain was also on Saturday mornings. I'm trying to
That's
think.
That's pretty impressive.
I brought that along because I thought you might like the poster. And here's another, when I was doing the jet thing, that
Thanks
was on the outside of the Baker Boy trucks as they traveled throughout California. This was one of the sponsors I had when I went out and sold the show myself. And we had little flying saucers that we gave away to the children. And we had.
Did you ever save one for yourself?
I don't have a flying saucer anymore, but I do have the official membership cards. We had Captain Jet membership cards and secret message decoders. And I would send out messages on the air.
The way you say it, it was so, wow.
And, and the youngsters had to have their Captain Jet
message
decoder, secret message decoder, in order to decode the message that I would be sending. And that was fun. Because when I was a kid and I listened to radio, what was it, Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy, Captain Midnight, those great radio programs, they had... message decoders, and I would, you know, send in the coupon along with the whatever at the time, 25 cents for my secret message decoder or that ring that would whistle. And I forget what it was called, but I wish I had it. It would be a collector's item today.
I have a little Oscar ring.
A little Oscar ring?
Yeah.
Paul Mayer's Children's Television Archive.